Okay, you're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show. We're heading into the last hour and we're continuing our debate relating to the Glenties electoral area. There are 16 candidates, six seats. We have six in with us today. Michael McLafferty, Independent, declined our invitation. And also Kelly Rogers of Sinn Féin was invited and also declined. Okay, I can start with you if that's all right, Anne Sweeney. I'll just read this message, and it's for a particular area, but I think it talks of a wider problem. It's about living and working in the Glenties electoral area. Morning, Greg. What are the candidates planning on doing about childcare? Total lack of full-day childcare, particularly in the Dunfanaghy area. No creche at all, no breakfast clubs, no services during school holidays, waiting lists for years for childcare places, people having to travel to Letterkenny for childcare because there are no other closer options. Just shows a lack of facilities. I mean, this is the bread and butter of life and getting out to work and covering your bills.
The childcare issue, in my opinion, should be provided by the local education authority, and schools should be used for early childhood learning, because most of them have lots of space that isn't being used, and that's what I think should happen, as opposed to us having to try and create voluntary childcare facilities that are not funded, where parents who are already very seriously stretched are trying to run a commercial business, they're trying to meet all the regulations and then provide the childcare. I actually don't think it's possible. And from that point of view, I think what we should be lobbying for is for the state to be providing the childcare within the existing education system.
Micheál Colum, you wanted to come in there?
Yeah, I agree. Myself and Anne finding ourselves agreeing on a lot of stuff here. I thought me and Anne would be battling it out. But no, I think it's right. There's a huge issue there. When you look at the cost of living and the families that I deal with on a regular basis, and especially now we're all getting it at the Dárta, we're all hearing all these issues. And when you take in the cost of childcare, if you're lucky enough to get childcare places, when you look at rent on affordable, the mortgage, it's nearly impossible to live. I spoke to an oldish woman the other day and she was saying, I'm in my 80s, it's nearly impossible for me to live. And for families then who are trying to work, they've been through college or they're in employment anywhere, need that be Dunfanaghy or Gidore or Narasa, they're really struggling, no childcare facilities.
Can you remember off the top of your head the last time that issue was raised in the council by someone in the Glenties Municipal District area?
I can't think of childcare being raised and as a issue because it doesn't come under us as a council.
There's a lot discussed, including
in terms of
other countries that don't fall under the remit of the council.
If I can finish this.
Well, if I can ask a question.
Oh, no, you can ask away.
Yeah,
and let me finish that too. So it has been, of course it has been, because we're talking, look, at the end of the day, we all might have differences politically or ideological positions, but we all live in the community. We all see our neighbours and our families, and some of us struggle. So it is difficult, and we know the issues that are out there. And Anne's right there when she says that it should be state-run. I think it should be state-run, or childcare should be state-run, and it should be available. And if you look at Gidore, because I would have been heavily involved, as you know, Greg, in trying to save the Gidore crash there. And now the waiting list is massive, right in the heart of an industrial estate. And for people then to find employment, people who were trying to coax to come back home, and they're saying, no, hold on a minute, I have two or three children. Where would they go? Where I would spend my life, if you were lucky enough to get a place, paying the mortgage, paying the childcare, and it's just not living. It's nowhere near living, and the cost. And the lads here were, and Anne and that there were talking there about supermarkets and running supermarkets now, and the difficulties that there is there. And I don't believe for one minute that Josie wants to be passing on them prices on to the customers. It just becomes so expensive.
But Joseph,
living now.
I'll go to Joseph and Lawyer Fine Gael. I mean, you know, we don't want to sit around the table and sort of identify the problems because we're living them, you know, and particularly in certain areas of Donegal, low wages, high rents, unavailability of childcare or expensive childcare, lack of housing. You know, I mean, surely a council has to have a role in either addressing these issues or lobbying on behalf of the people that are that send them to Lifford. Do you know, sometimes you wonder, you know, we I would say a lot of motions that come before the council are not necessarily under the remit of the council. So, you know, at least people would feel that their feelings and their lives are being represented in Lifford. Would you do that for them?
Yeah, of course. But not only at council level then, because like if you are a member of a party, you can be badgering ministers and TDs and Leinster House about these issues too. Also, you know, and that, so a lot of this, some of it doesn't just necessarily fall under Lifford and Donegal County Council. And then, like, I have to say, I've got that on the doorstep about the lack of childcare facilities.
But just listen, pardon my ignorance, right? Yeah. So say you bring a motion before the council, mm-hmm. right? And it's on some of these issues. The council unanimously agree. Now, the executive have no function in that whatsoever. But if that motion is then sent to a local TD and then local councillors use the media to say, we've raised this issue, this local TD, this local minister is not doing nothing, that puts the heat onto that minister. That minister sits around the cabinet table and says, look, I'm going to have to do something about Donegal here because my life is being made a misery. Surely that's the role of a council. Why is that not the role of the council?
No, I believe that.
Yeah. So it is worth raising these issues outside of the...
I've seen certain things, and I'm not even a councillor,
yeah.
On the doorsteps, like early in the second week, and it was to do with a little girl, and I'm not going to name names, but it was a bit of childcare, mm-hmm. and as an autistic girl. And I badgered a couple of TDs, and that went on for a week or whatever. And that girl was waiting 10 months for an appointment for a certain thing. And she got an appointment then within 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But you have to follow through, and you have mm-hmm. to keep following up.
Yeah, I know a lot of the work of councillors is done outside of Lifford and off the airwaves. Mm-hmm. I get that. But still, we're talking about what people are feeling. John Riley of Fianna Fáil.
Well, Greg, you know, we're talking about the childcare and everything, and you're hitting a good point there about the TDs. We have TDs in this county, and they seem to get away with it. All the blame always comes back on the councillor. You know, at local level, the councillor's role is to listen to what the people want. The go-to person, I get a lot of that on the doorstep. People are pulling me aside. Even when I said I was going to run, I'd actually people coming to me with issues that wanted to be addressed. Now, I'm not a councillor. But certain issues like with council estates and the houses weren't being painted, etc., etc. It took me 10 or 15 minutes to go and do my homework to find a solution to that problem. And I'm not a councillor. So if we have a problem like your childcare and stuff, where are our TDs in this area? I haven't seen them this last 5 years. I would hardly remember their name. So I think what we do at council level is bring the motion to the table.
Can I just say, though, a TD represents the entire county. So
yes.
In fairness, when you lay that claim, it's not against, you know, necessarily just the TDs in your own area. It is actually the TDs for the county. They are representing the county,
exactly.
Which includes
a minister. In our area, we have TDs. And as councillors, I think we should work together, get together, and go to the TD and bring it to Dublin on the table of the issues that we need. Because we have serious issues that need to be addressed.
Kevin O'Donnell, come in there, please.
I'm very glad the childcare issue has come up, because I was actually at a house last night in the Glenties area and met a man and woman, both working people. And unfortunately, because of the childcare crisis, the man stays at home, looks after it. They have three children. Now there's one child very young and the other two are at school. So the big problem, and possibly for them, like, you know, we need to put, the government need to put more money into childcare services, you know, to secure places for creches and all. Places aren't available. And as well, a lot of staff aren't willing to work in childcare services because of the wage factor. So that is a big issue with it as well. And I know for a fact that managers working in childcare services, they're burnt out because they're trying to keep the places opened, and it's very tough.
Carol works in childcare and says, I've continuously asked locally for premises, but with the red tape to open a facility, it's impossible to find a premises to suit and then to have the funds to get the premises, that premises to that standard required by the inspecting authorities. I contacted Uterus for help to source premises, but to be told that it's not their remit, there's no support. We are also a family with crumbling blocks in Gwydor, and not one councillor has supported us over the last few years as we watch our homes deteriorate. Too late to land at my door now when they are just looking for votes. It seems there is a sense that, and I'll put this to you, Anne, and anyone can correct me where I'm wrong, is that maybe some people around this table think that it's not a Glenties problem, and then there are those that are affected by the issue, and maybe they want people to be better briefed, or maybe to be coming up with better solutions for people affected by defective concrete in Glenties. Okay. The Glenties electoral area.
Well, I'm going to go back to childcare and take it from that
perspective. Okay, yeah, sure. Go ahead.
The situation that we have in Ireland at the moment is that, apart from declining birth rates, because people can't afford to have children because they can't afford houses, they can't afford for one parent to stay home and mind the children because of the high cost of mortgages, and again, back to the high cost of housing. So the whole standard of living and everything is predicated by affordable childcare. Oh, no, sorry, affordable housing. And the council is, in theory, not responsible for housing because that decision has been taken in Dublin on housing policy. In Dunfanaghy, we had 10 houses that came up for sale for 30,000 each because the builder went bankrupt. The logical thing would have been for the council to buy those 10 houses and add to the council stock, which would have been an asset that would have been bringing in money continuously. Instead of that, the council got a private developer to take them over, and they've leased them for 20 years. Now, there's no logic whatsoever from a commercial point of view for the council to be doing that. But obviously that's the policy, that Dublin wouldn't give them the money to buy the houses.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm saying that at a stroke of a pen, the housing issue can be fixed. And I don't think that we don't have enough houses. It's we don't have enough houses that are affordable. And if we have a situation where we're allowing vulture funds to come into the country and buy up streams of houses,
mm-hmm.
and then rent them back to the government, we have a situation then where the taxpayer is actually paying the HAS, the HAP, the housing supplement. So we, the taxpayer, are supplementing the incomes for investment funds from America and Canada particularly. Now, the Fianna Fáil Minister for Housing, Dara O'Brien, has said he's going to stop that, but not yet. It's only for new planning permissions mm-hmm. going forward. And it's absolutely scandalous.
All right. Jimmy Duffy, your view on that, please.
In relation to childcare?
Just in relation to childcare, and I suppose the like a caller says, you can address this, Jimmy, or anyone can come in. The reason they believe childcare is not raised regularly in the council to, I suppose, let people feel that their issues are being talked about is because there's not enough women in the council. But anyway, more generally speaking.
That could be in it too. I think it's the council, the second councillors can't just walk away from that because some of them have raised the issue of no health centres, no dispensaries and open and all sorts of that. So GAC is the remit of the HSE. So if they're just saying that we can't raise this issue of childcare because it's nothing to do with the council, they're actually raising the issue of no other services, which has nothing to do with the council either.
The council's frontline democracy, though, is it not? I mean, that's where people want to be heard.
So the councillor has a duty to raise all the issues. And if they're affiliated to a political party, then they have the avenue to go and raise that up through the ranks of their party, right up to
Parliament. You know, say, for instance, if you live in Letterkenny, you would know that Letterkenny University Hospital, it's tight in terms of the conditions and what have you. Fancy living in Burton Port or Arranmore, and then it's magnified. I mean, I don't want you to be a lightning rod, Councillor McGillan Aspect, on council issues, but how regularly, can you give us a sense of how regularly issues are raised where councillors as a unit agree that they need to make representations to the HSC or central government to say, hold on a second, what's going on in the hospitals is an absolute disgrace. Should councillors, 37 of them, not be standing outside that hospital with placards saying, enough is enough? Invite RTE up to film it. Yeah, why don't you do that?
That's a very fair point, to be honest, which I've been spending quite a lot of time down at the hospital at the moment this last 2 weeks, nearly most days. And just used the opportunity to thank the staff down there. And there is an issue in terms of her healthcare. There is an issue that is all interconnected in terms of her housing, her healthcare. and other services, because there is a move by government around the privatisation and that agenda, which is very much about profit for others. And it's a bit like, I think we spoke earlier about the ESB, maybe on or off air, I'm not sure, off air, we were talking about the ESB and how that was all privatised and how we're looking at the model similar to the HSE in England. And it's where you deteriorate a service so much so that it then becomes acceptable for the people to accept the privatisation. And the idea of making profit out of somebody's misery or ill health as has now become to a point where you do talk at the doorsteps what people about it, but sure, isn't it better than what we have at the moment? And that's a very, very deliberate approach, because it's a very Thatcherist policy that we've seen being implemented in the 80s, kind of late 80s, and moving towards where we are today in the 24, whatever year we're at, around the deterioration. And that is the ideology of both Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, and shared by Labour when they were in government as well. And it's really unfortunate that this is where we're at, because we're talking about
John
people...
Riley, you're shaking your head.
Sorry.
No, it's fine. You're shaking your head.
I'm shaking my head, Greg, because we come in here to speak about local issues. You started on childcare, we were going to housing, and then it always goes in to attack the government. We're talking about local issues here. I'm bringing it back about round the table in Lifford to get the money in. Like, we're talking about housing. When I was canvassing in my area, and this is a good fact, in the housing estates in my area, there was 15 empty council houses, lying empty for more than 6 months or more. Now, I do know 20 metres away from where my business is, a man passed away, OK? In May last year, the keys were handed back. It took 8 months to turn the house around. And the need we have for housing, we're saying we're building new houses in Dunloe, Anagra, etc. We should concentrate and get the councillors to work with the council. Now, the council have a tough job. I understand that. The people who work for the council have a job to do. But it's up to the job of a councillor to go and ask the question, why is it taking 8 months to turn a house around? Mm-hmm. Now, people only want a roof over their head, heat at night and somewhere to sleep and somewhere to call home. That's all they want. They don't want a palace, so why is it taking 8 months to turn these houses around? Now, I'm only talking in the small area that I'm in. Mm-hmm. I haven't got in the broader area, the likes of Glenties and Ardra and places like that. But this needs to be addressed. This has to be addressed right away and get the turnaround done.
Jimmy Duffy of the Labour Party.
There's one example that could have been rectified by the council, by the councillors, is the motor tax office in Dunloe and maybe other places in their constituency, where people only can go in and get their tax on their car 2 days a week within certain times, while GAC office is open, GAC office is staffed, and that motor tax office should be open to the public all the time. We can't think that people have the facility or the know-how to go online. So that's only one thing. If you can't get simple things like that right, we're going nowhere. We have to cooperate within the council and push these issues.
You'd want him to come back in then, we'll call him McGillis before.
Just in relation to the housing, and John's right that the time scale that it takes to turn around housing, and that's, I'm hoping that the housing issue is going to be an issue that we discuss, because I think it's really, really important. But if I was to be honest, John, just in relation to that, there's a number of factors there. The number of factor is the lack of staff within the council, the lack of funding, and that funding. So how it works is, very briefly, is that when somebody vacates for whatever reason, we then need to apply then to the government in Dublin for that funding. So it's not that there's a pot there that we're waiting on, right? By the time then, maybe that the family takes to maybe hand over a house, it could take a period of time, even though they've already left. And then the biggest problem is that we have is, and again, I disagree with it, because I believe that we should have the in-house staff, and it's something that I've been challenging since I've been elected, is that we're then dependent on the private market yet again. So when you have a situation where the government, the parties, decide that they'd control the funding until we need it, and then the whole process then of applying for that there, which is more red tape and ministerial I'm stuck with that word. Applications.
And then,
there's part blame. And then, and then when you have a situation where we have huge immigration within the area, and a lot of the workers are away in other countries working, we're left with the private market then waiting for them when they have spare time to come to do up the houses. And John, unfortunately, that is the reality of it.
No,
that's a fact. That is a fact.
I'll bring everybody on this.
If you don't agree, tell me where I'm. No.
Well, excuse me, I'll look after that if that's all right. Everyone can come in, but that's Joseph. No, it's not. It's just to keep things. So, Joseph Malloy, you wanted to come in. You indicated first.
When you're on about council houses there and that. I see it now when we're out canvassing too in all areas this last 5 or 6 weeks, the amount of vacant houses that are in the area and even houses that are partly built or finished. I think that it should be easier for people to rent these houses out and stuff. And of course, that's not necessarily a council issue. That would be more possibly a government issue. That, you know, people, they need to lessen, as Mihail was saying, red tape about renting private houses.
I know you say it's a Dublin issue. And
well,
I don't,
we have 9,500 vacant houses in Donegal. I've seen that figure in one certain incident, and I've seen a statistic somewhere else where there's, say, 10,000. You know, and these houses are sitting unoccupied.
I think it's the difference between houses that are vacant, houses that are livable, and houses that are holiday homes.
A lot of these houses are livable.
Six in Annagry, apparently, in the Glen Road, have been built. Seven have been built on for a few years. No one is letting or buying them. What is the panel going to do to address that?
Well, hold on. I'll answer that if that's okay. They belong to a private developer. Okay. So they do. They're not council houses.
That's
and
fine.
I think it was
that
misled.
Question.
That it was believed that they were belonging to the council, if them houses were.
I wonder if the developer been approached to buy them houses off them.
The councillor. The developer had been in talks, because I've been and clearly stating here, developer's profit is not my interest, but I've been engaging certainly with both, and it is the decision of the developer to do as it does he wishes.
Is this another issue whereby a developer wants an uplift to get the value of the houses now rather than when the houses were built?
Well,
this seems to be a common problem around this county.
Going back to
is that been raised as an issue? You were at the meeting.
Say that again. Sorry,
that the developer wants the market value of the houses now and not the value of the houses when they were built.
Well, I think what's happening is that overall, and I'm not specifically zooming in on one person, is that there's a view there among some of the developers that if we hold on, there'll be more profit to be made. The government will buckle because we're in a housing crisis. Obviously created by the government, and that they want to hold on as long as they can to make more profit.
Sorry, Anne, did you want to come back in there? I hope you haven't lost your point. Sorry if it takes so long to get to you.
But the point that Micheál has made about, and you have made about the developers and wanting a different price for the house, if a developer is building a house and he's got funding from the banks or whatever on the basis that the council is buying them off him, then I think that the council needs to tie that down in a contract so that whatever price they agreed to purchase.
I think contracting has actually, it wasn't up until now, but I think there is a provision for that now whereby it's not just a memorandum of understanding, that there is actually a formal agreement there.
So if there isn't, then there's no point in talking about it. But I want to go back to the hospital, because the services that we all have to put up with within the county affects all of us, and on the front line of democracy that our councillor will have, then we must address it in some way. Letterkenny Hospital got an increase in funding last year of 75%, and the Sunday Business Post did an article about 4 weeks ago how they had measured the increase in improvement or services as a result of it, and there was no sign of a 75% improvement in services or treatments.
I presume the paper knew that. It's not. I don't think it's 75%. Most of that money was actually taken up covering wages and things, wages increases as part of agreements, and not actually towards the provision of services.
Right. But what I would like to see is that in order, rather than the whole service being destroyed and ended up being privatised, that we actually have a full in-depth exposure about how the money is spent and how much of it has been spent on bringing in private contractors. Now, the motor tax issue and people going online, that just leads me on to the whole issue of people paying for stuff online. Like if you get a bus, some of the bus companies now, you have to pay online. You might have free transport, but you have to pay a fee for using the platform.
Booking fee. To book your free ticket, it's a booking fee.
Yes. So I think it shouldn't be allowed, but it is, it'll have to be covered somehow. But if we actually take that idea onto another level and look at the amount of money that's coming in, stuff that's coming into the county, or money that's going out of the county to buy stuff on platforms like eBay and Amazon and things like this. These are putting billions of pounds worth of stuff into the country, into the county, every month. And I think that we need to come up with a mechanism where that can be taxed, and that this money can be used for the fact that we have all these local businesses closed down, they can't compete with the prices, and that we create a whole indigenous industry out of the money that's been spent on these massive platforms.
Okay.
So
You could make the argument that we have 8 billion euro of corporation tax off the companies that you mentioned. Use some of that. That is, it's in the general taxation pot. Well, why another level of tax when we've an 8 billion surplus from the tax off them already?
Well, we have that tax off them, but I mean, I would be taxing all the stuff that's coming in, because they actually take 40% for hosting the platforms alone.
Or increase our tax rate in terms of taxing these big multinational companies more. That benefits us, so we could actually start.
Kevin, sorry for taking so sorry, my whole column. Kevin, sorry for so long coming back to you. I do understand there's a bit of multiple issues, and then people want to sort of get in on what's passionate to them. The listener will understand. Go ahead.
Yes, okay. No, actually, Joseph pointed out on part of what I was going to say on the canvas, like for the last few weeks as well, all the empty houses that are in the area.
Are these holiday homes, or are these?
A lot of them are. Yeah, some of them are holiday homes, Greg, but there's a lot of derelict houses. There's a lot of derelict houses lying in Donegal, and houses that are not in bad condition. Why are there not money spent?
But we have the derelict properties grant now, with the biggest uptake in this county of any county.
Yeah, which is very welcome.
Sorry, go ahead, Joseph.
These aren't derelict houses, that, and the majority.
But if they haven't been lived in for 2 years, you can still get the grant.
Well, I would class derelict as a ruin as such.
Well, you get an extra 20 for that.
I'm talking about years of houses.
If these houses haven't been lived in for 2 years, it's 50 grand. I just want, with respect, James, I just want Kevin to finish his point. Go ahead, Kevin.
Yeah, as well as that, like, you know, the houses are there. There's not a lot of money to be spent on them. And, like, what about maybe houses that are left and there's no walls? Maybe some of these houses will never be reopened again. You know, maybe it's something that council should look into, or government should look into.
Do you think people, though, when you start talking about interfering with private property, in other words, if I buy a house and I want it to sit there empty for 10 years, do we really want to go down a road whereby there's an overreach from the government to sort of tell me what I can do with that?
Yeah, but maybe
I don't have a second house.
Maybe we should inquire to see what's the situation on these houses.
Yeah. I've heard many of those schemes.
You're thinking, Kevin, you were becoming a communist there.
No, at the end of the day, the government even had a scheme whereby you could take pictures of a derelict house, send it down to Mayo. Yeah. Nothing ever comes of those things. James, you wanted to come in there.
On that faking house scheme or derelict house scheme, To avail of the grant and to do the work, we're getting 13 months, and you also have to secure your money to do that. Most people that would be availing of that mightn't have the capital to do it.
And also
the time frame to complete it, because we don't have the twigs. A local contractor who took had to keep plasterers up from Monaghan for a week to plaster a local house. So where are we going to get
the one thing I would actually say is, for anyone interested in that, because I think it's a brilliant scheme, is there's a brilliant actual team working with that, and you can work with them a little bit. In other words, you only need a kitchen, a front room, and one bedroom you can sleep in. So there are.
We have only one problem.
You can't get extended. You can't get extension.
The government parties that's here at the moment should be looking forward to what's going to happen next, because that scheme is going to finish in 2025.
To clarify, there's a review on it at the moment, which is happening through the month of May. At the moment, because every scheme has a time frame, it's to the end of 2025, but that doesn't mean it's not continuing. It may well be enhanced and extended.
And
James, I hope you don't think I'm contradicting you.
You're right.
It's just that I actually think there's good money there and a brilliant team that addition it out.
There's other issues.
And it would bring us our houses back. Sorry, I'll come back to you, Kevin, and whoever wants to come in. But, John, I think you were... I don't know if you just exacerbated at everything or you're shaking your head because you want to come in. I don't know which one it is.
No, I
want to give you a fair crack in the whip too.
I do agree about the vacant homes that I've seen myself on the cameras. And the great thing about cameras is that you travel parts of the corners you find that you never knew existed, even though we live here. But one of the problems we have too is probably that we live in a beautiful part out in the west of Donegal. And the holiday homes is the issue that people come and stay for their 3 or 4 weeks. Now, you had to know there, Greg, that how can you go and police somebody that has their own home? You know, if I have a second home, maybe somebody died in the family and the house is there, maybe I don't have the money to do it up. Mm. Even with the 70,000 grand that's going now, maybe I haven't got the extra money to do it. Yeah. Then you need the three quotations, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So maybe people just have it sitting there and they don't have the time or the money.
I don't think
to
you need three quotations either, by the way. I this is not a hobby horse, but you don't need three quotations. But your wider point is, but surely then, can we not get inventive and say, let someone rent out a holiday home for 10 months of the year tax-free? No? Or is there anything we could do to try and bring that stock into use?
Reduce the taxation, reduce the red tape, make it more advantageous to rent the house out. Mm. Like, as in a business sense, make it easier.
Make it more appealing to people.
That's what I'm necessarily
with respect to Ollius and that, how could you rent a house out for 10 months? I know you're just playing with ideas here. But you can't. We can't. We have enough difficulties with landlords.
Can I give an example?
Can I give an example?
Say, for instance, I got a job offer at a company in the West Donegal. I want to take that job, but I can't secure housing.
There's a six-month lease.
I can go in there for 6 months. Teachers. I can go in for there 6 months, try and source something else locally. That's how I would see you could rent a house for 8 months. It's not going to affect the long-term housing issue.
Where there's difficulty, there's massive difficulties in housing. And housing, for me anyway, it's one of the biggest issues that I deal with. And it's housing...
I have to break to get out of the way.
Okay.
Do you just want to come back to housing after that?
Where is the sandwiches and tea?
No, there's none of that crack.
None?
For the Letterkenny debates.
It's a big issue.
All right. No, it is for sure. But I'll tell you, we'll take these breaks. I'll take the two breaks and then it kind of clears us then. Okay, you're welcome back to the 9 till noon show here on Highland Radio. We are continuing our series of local election debates, all very exciting, and I get a sense that it's really kicking off now as we head towards polling day, early June. Just to remind you that coming up after 12 online, we have our next European debates. We'll have four candidates for you discussing the issues of the day, and there's a lot of overlap in a lot of the stuff that we're talking about. Okay, housing. I think, and obviously people can come in if they feel they wish to, but we'll go around clockwise from where I'm sitting on the issue of housing and what people might have to say about this. And I'll start with you, Labour's Jimmy Duffy. Housing, a big issue in the Glenties electoral area.
Yeah, housing is a big issue. We have a problem, as we alluded to earlier, holiday houses and holiday homes, some of them vacant because the owners are elsewhere, working the country or working the UK or whatever, coming and going. Then there's others that's completely empty because a lot of the houses, and I just my local area here in St. Mullaghcliffe, where right along the road, most of the houses is closed. And the reason why that is, and it's the whole way over to Angagree and the whole way, is that most of the houses that are presently occupied are occupied either by one person or a couple. And when they pass on, that house is left vacant because the family already have houses of their own.
So what do you want to do about that? So we've identified an issue. Do you have a solution?
The solution mightn't be as easy as one solution.
But do you think there should be any I don't know any tax or any other council stroke government moves to bring that housing back into, you know, into permanent residency through sale or rent.
Yeah, I think there actually should be another grant, I suppose, in relation to the grant that's already in existence to take that in, because I think it's to do with maybe the regulations of the housing regulations that caused houses to be vacant in the first place. If we go back 20 years ago, when the person would pass on, a person could walk into them houses right away. But now we need certain housing regulations, so we're actually short
ourselves
in the foot.
I'm saying, so that genie's out of the bottle. A lot of areas of this county, not just the area that you talk of, you look out the front door and the hills are in darkness, the hills and valleys are in darkness, and you look out that same front door on a bank holiday weekend in Northern Ireland and it's lit up like a Christmas tree.
Yeah, well, I live in the townland of Carrickfinn, and I and my brother are the only two growing up people.
Locals, effectively.
No. The only two people that was born in Carrickfinn is living there at the moment.
Okay. Now, obviously, you'd like some votes out of Carrickfinn, so there's no harm in that.
It's not that. I'm just saying that's everywhere.
I get you. Okay. Yeah. Right, James, thank you for that. John Riley, Fianna Fáil. I mean, what could we actually do, I suppose, to provide more housing and maybe make use of all that vacant stock?
Well, we're kind of homing in here on the vacant stuff that's lying there, and we're not looking into the other options.
Well, you do whatever you want to do. We're not here talking about holiday homes.
On here, and I know first-hand experience, Greg, I've had this about the planning when I was trying to get my business off the ground, like the planning procedure. I'm not attacking the council. I think it needs to be discussed. Could be made a lot easier. Like, I met a lot of hurdles in my business, and, you know, and John, they're shaking their head agreeing that only for I had the go-to person in Noreen McGarvey, God rest her, she's not with us anymore. But I needed that go-to person because I was meeting a lot of challenges and trying to get my business off the ground, and it wasn't easy. But she was that person. That's what our councillor should be. We need to take it to the table to make the planning a lot easier. If you take the N56 at the minute, you can't build along that road. So anybody that has a plot of land, so they're telling you, we want you to build more houses, but you're stuck inside the zone of a town. You're not allowed to build a house along the N56. That needs to be addressed. We have the vacant houses in the estates that I'm seeing that we're not turning around. It could be simplified. Bring in local contractors and have a list of 8 or 10 of them on the books with the council and say, OK, we've 6 contractors here. There's a house number 13 in such an estate. Go on, give us a quotation. Turn it round as quick as you can. We're kind of homing in on the holidaymaker here and trying.
It's not that. I think when people talk about vacant houses,
it's a big broad range.
Of course it is. In relation to building on the N56, I was of the view that the council as a whole opposed that, and this is really up to Dara O'Brien as to whether or not we get a derogation in that regard. Am I correct in that, Micheál Conlon?
Where's safe to do so? You know, there is houses along that road at the moment.
The council are in the council.
Yeah, as councillors, we are, and especially us in
the West
is kind of mostly, I'm not saying all, but mostly affected.
And right, I'll come back to you on housing more generally. I just wanted to check that fact.
So
Anne Sweeney, independent. If I framed this, that this was about holiday homes, I didn't intend to do so. It's just about.
No, we're getting sway in that.
It's dealing. Well, that's fine. Sway it back. I'm easily swayed.
Let's not forget that the holiday homes have bought the homes from local people,
sure,
and that's all added money to the local economy. Yep. And sometimes it's the only economy we have. There is massive issues about the fact that between Falkara and Dunfanaghy yesterday, I counted about 20 homes, old homes that were not being used. Now, in order to incentivise people to sell them and allow them to be added to the housing stock, I think we need some kind of a deal where the council actually buy them, and it becomes a tax-free purchase, and then they do them up. But to do that, they need to employ a team of workers that are actually employed by the council, say 20 people, and they can whack them out in a year. But the other thing is, we keep saying we have to send up to Dublin for the money to get the council houses ready in order to relet them. It's absolutely crazy that that should be the situation. So we have to look at the whole notion of landlordism and what that role plays in our society. And if we're going to say that housing is a human right and that we as the council should be providing housing, so let's take back the whole issue of councils building housing and those houses become an asset to the council and provide an income. Now, there's 160 billion on deposit from Irish depositors, and they're not spending it. So I'm saying that if we actually break it down into counties and come up with some kind of a plan, like a Tesla or whatever you call that thing, Tesla's probably one of them cars that hasn't been sold, but a special arrangement where if people invest in housing for the council to let out, that they would have like a 5-year tax-free allowance, or they would get a special rate. But it's not as if we haven't got the money in the country. It's just that the money's not being spent and there's no incentive to spend it. So okay. I'm saying the council should go back to building houses and renting them out and it become assets for the council.
But the word landlord come up there. If we didn't have landlords, I think we'd have an awful lot more than 13,000 people living in state-provided accommodation, wouldn't we? If we were relying solely on the state to provide accommodation. The landlord's not playing an important role.
Well, actually, Greg, the situation is that the landlord has actually been paid by the state. So it's a landlord to the state. So that's where the dilemma
comes
in.
That's those that can qualify for the HAP payment, I believe you're referencing.
And it's exorbitant rents in Dublin.
Okay, yeah. 2,400 euros,
and
the average rent
in Dublin.
And in
Letterkenny at the moment, I think it's up to 1,600.
Yeah, that's where we're at.
Yeah.
1,200 as an average across the whole county. 1,400, 13 as an average across the whole county.
But if the council wasn't paying the HAP, the landlords couldn't charge that rent. It's not possible because people couldn't afford to pay it on the salaries they're being paid within the county.
A lot of landlords won't take it, though, so there's obviously enough demand there in the private sector as well. Not to contradict you, just go ahead, please, Kevin O'Donnell, Independent.
Yeah, so government are promising us 500,000 houses over the next 10 years, which is very welcome, hoping they can deliver on it. Now, I think, and it's a personal opinion of mine, and I think at least 50% of these houses should be affordable homes, that we don't lose our young people. What is happening in our country here? We're losing our young people because they can't afford mortgages. Now they're paying big rents. A young couple could be paying 1,500 or 1,600 euro a month in rent, and maybe their mortgage might only be 1,100 or 1,200. They can't get the mortgage. That is a big issue. So young people are emigrating. They're leaving our shores, going to work in America, Australia. They're going there to save to buy their house, or even to save to get a deposit for a house. That is a big issue. And it's terrible losing their young people over the head of this.
I can't remember exactly what it was, but when we were doing an outside broadcast from Dunloe, speaking to young people who were very ambitious and wanted to stay at home, but they couldn't fulfil their ambitions at home.
Yeah, and that is what's happening. And as well, I know John's brought it up earlier, planning issues. There's too many red flags in front of young people as well. I know a young lad not far from Glenties building a house on the family farm. Took him about 5 years to get planning permission and cost him a lot of money. Now, if we want to encourage our young people to stay at home, young couples, you know, there's too much going on and it's costing them too much money. So the planning regulations need to be looked at. And I know there's no planning, and Micheál Collins maybe we'll address it on the N56. But I spoke to a man about 2 weeks ago in the Dunloe area. His son was in England, wanted to come home to build a house on the family plot. He says he can't get planning permission. He says even if he uses my lane, he's still not allowed permission, which is a shame. So we're basically...
And we had this fantastic initiative from the council where they went over to London encouraging people living and working over there to come home and live and work in Donegal. But housing is an issue. Micheál Collum, go ahead, please.
Yeah, look, you could do with an hour or two to talk about housing. Housing, like I said earlier, Greg, is a really important issue for me. Obviously, because of my community, I'm lucky enough to own my own home now. But it wasn't always that case for me. I've really struggled in housing. both here, Donegal, Ballyclia, and in England. And so I'm quite passionate, and I spend a lot of my time on housing. And first and foremost, we must recognise why we have a housing crisis and who that crisis is for. It's a crisis for those who are looking homes, but not for the big landlords. And that's a deliberate, and we have to talk about that there, that's a deliberate policy, both by Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, and would have been shared by other political parties that were in government as well, that they would stop building, and we stopped providing the finances to county councils to build homes. And the idea was, the ideology was that it would look towards the private market to meet that need. And in West Donegal, and I'm somebody that works very
just
much
in about
around
a minute, if you don't mind.
Okay, I work a lot around the tourism stuff, but I also, we need to look at the tourism and how it's impacting on us. And I think Anne touched it. Geez, we're real buddies here today, Anne. but as around the regulation of Airbnb and how that's impacting on us now. Now, we can't put the blame on the private market either, because the private market are doing what the private market does. It's a clear failure that we're not building, and we're not going back to what we were saying earlier, that the council starts building houses. The government can step in and put a rent cap on it. The idea that we're one of the most lowest wage base within the whole free state, right? And the idea that we're paying anything up to 1,200 a month just to rent a house, and that's immoral. And the government could step in and do something about it, the same way that they choose not to step in and do something about it, because it's about profit. And
so I'm not sure, but it's not a very popular view that you have, if I'm not misquoting you, that people who choose, they have a second, accidental second property in many cases, they don't want to rent it long term because they don't want to get tied up with RTB, they don't want to have issues with getting people out of the property or whatever, and they can rent it in an open market, an Airbnb. You're of the view, are you, that they should be taxed out of that and encouraged into long-term rental?
What my view on it is, right, I use Airbnb if I have to travel, of course, right? We all do. Anybody that travels uses Airbnb. For me, it's about regulating that Airbnb sector, that people then are not in a position that in West Donegal that we're all Airbnb, that there are long-term private. But ideally, we would need to build homes for people forever.
Okay,
we as a council, we done was build six houses.
I have no time, James.
Six
sorry.
Houses we built in my last term in 5 years. And I'm willing to admit, because I have to, because I'm a part of the decision-making, I also have failed in not delivering the houses that we need. It's absolute disgrace. That's not a positive note to finish on, but I have to be honest.
It's okay. A minute, Joseph. You can take a bit longer if you need it, but preferably a minute.
Well, listen, we're still on the housing subject here. Somebody else mentioned, actually a couple of you have mentioned, like planning is something that needs to be simplified and speeded up. Because if we want to help them build new houses, and as they've said, the youth, we have to sort something out there. You can have the carrot or the stick approach to some of the vacant houses that we're talking about, whereas I think that the carrot's a better way. Make it more advantageous for them to rent the houses with regards to taxation, maybe grants for certain houses that aren't in that bad a state. And I do believe that's the way forward there, to open up some of that. But as I said, the planning issue, I do believe, is a major one.
All right, listen, thank you so much. I really do appreciate all of you coming in to us. Micheál, Colin McGillan-Asberg, Kevin O'Donnell, Joseph Molloy, Jimmy Duffy, John Riley and Sweeney. I wish you all the very, very best of luck.
Thank you
so much for your contributions. It's very much appreciated. Okay, that's where we have to leave it for today on our local elections debates. We'll be back tomorrow, just after 10, with another panel to discuss the big issues of the day. But that's where we're going to leave it now. Just to remind you, if you want to hear the latest European election debates, then get on to our YouTube channel, our Facebook channels, our X channels, where we'll be broadcasting live there very, very shortly. But for now, we'll take a break.